Shocker, how you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Feels like I'm in Florida. It's so sunny here. I have no problem with it. Love it.
What do you guys got? I got 30 degrees happening. What do you guys got?
It's like 7 or something, which in March feels like 30 in Edmonton, so I have no problem with it.
Yeah, it's funny. Listening to all the media from the New York area or even out east complain about their winter this year, and then they all look at me and go, but it must be nothing compared to what you guys are going through. And I kind of go, actually, it was 16 degrees on the weekend. We're good.
Yeah, yeah. Have no issues. Being great.
Oh, no, it's been awesome.
I was looking up the AHL statistics, and it shows so much in favor of why they should go to 3-on-3 if you're a fan of eliminating shootouts. Do you think the NHL is a fan of eliminating shootouts?
Yeah, I think a large number of them are. Like Kenny Holland's kind of leading the charge, and I think he's rallying the troops. And it's interesting. They pushed this to day 2 of the agenda. They didn't talk about it at all today. And it almost seems like, or feels like to me, like they wanted to give everybody the chance to talk amongst themselves about it for a full day before they really dug into it. In other words, they had the agenda items today and all that, but they're going to be at the bars tonight and on the golf course, and they're all going to have an opportunity to just kind of knock it all around between them, and then tomorrow they'll really dig into it. It's the biggest item on the agenda, and I think that there is a lot of momentum for this one. Now, I asked probably 4 or 5 general managers today what their opinion on it was, and only 2 of them gave me their opinion, and both were in favor. One was Jimmy Rutherford, and I believe Brad Treliving was the other one. A couple of them were just saying, nah, I'm not gonna say anything until tomorrow. They're going to save it. And I can't help but wonder if the guys who weren't in favor of it maybe are the type that don't want to say something, because I don't know if it'll be a slam dunk, but I think that there's a lot of traction, and I think a lot of general managers are in favor of it.
I asked people, and I've yet to get an answer, on what would be the negative of making this rule change. Do you see one?
Yeah, and I was digging around a little bit for that today as well. I talked to a couple of coaches in the American Hockey League today, and one of them told me that he kind of felt like it was a little gimmicky at first. That was sort of his impression of it. Once he saw it more and more, it kind of made a little bit more sense, and it was actually pretty exciting. I had another coach tell me that they recently had a game 3-on-3 end in a 30-second span. They had a 2-on-1 against, a breakaway against, and then another 2-on-1 against in a 30-second span, and then the other 2-on-1 is where it finally ended. So it sounds like it's mayhem. As far as what could be wrong with it, I think it would probably take a couple years to see, because it's in its infancy, right? In the American Hockey League, coaches right now are just kind of throwing guys over the boards and saying play man defense in your own zone, so it's basically man on man, and then go for it in the offensive zone. So as things tighten up and as they do it more and more, coaches are going to start to probably come up with more systems and more strategies, and maybe it becomes a little bit less run and gun than it is now. But that would take probably a few years. And in the meantime, I can't think of a reason why. I mean, the naysayers would say, well, it's gimmicky. Well, so's the shootout, right? So if you're old school, the shootout probably insults you a lot more than 3-on-3. So I can't really come up with a reason why it wouldn't work. It's just about figuring out the right way to do it. Both those coaches, by the way, told me they had more than one game this year where it never even got to 3-on-3 because there were no whistles. It actually, when they went to a shootout, it was because there were no whistles for them to go switch from 4-on-4 to 3-on-3. So that's maybe a little bit of an issue is how to make, there's no whistles 4-on-4 or hardly any.
Yeah, that's true. Right, but you were looking at the numbers. What I found interesting is usually there is a whistle, definitely in the final minute or two, so it gets to 3-on-3.
Yeah.
The most overtime goals have been scored, 29 of them, in the final minute. So you want to talk about excitement? There's really not much more exciting than scoring a goal in the final minute of the game.
Yeah. Now there's a couple things they need to consider. So right now in the American Hockey League, what they do is they start 4-on-4, and they do the switching of ends. So it's the long change. Now, I think, and both coaches I talked to said they thought it would make more sense if they didn't have the long change. you're already, like, 4-on-4 is where the long change was designed for, and people said, okay, well, let's give them a long change in overtime, and we'll see less shootouts and more. It'll be tougher for guys to change. Well, 3-on-3, now it's just ridiculous. Guys will just get stuck on the ice, and there'll be nothing they can do. Trying to change when you're 3-on-3 is just a dangerous proposition. So go back to the short change for overtime, 4-on-4 and 3-on-3. They need to figure that out, and I think they probably would look at doing that, taking the long change out. And then, like I said before, the other thing is what happens if there's no whistles. If that's just the way it's got to be, then fine.
What else is on the agenda?
Yeah, so today they dove into the idea of goaltender interference. What constitutes interference? Trying to weed out some of the gray area. And the idea of a coach's challenge for goaltender interference and for pucks being knocked over the glass. So the coach would have the opportunity to, you know, issue a coach's challenge to see if there was or was not goaltender interference on a goal that was scored. Or if a puck gets knocked out of play over the glass, they can check and see if it was actually, if it hit the glass or not. Now, the idea would be you can't call a penalty on the video replay. You can take a penalty away on the video replay. So, like, they can't assess a penalty if it wasn't originally called, but they can remove it if they got the call wrong. So they're looking seriously at the idea of the coach's challenge. They're seeing how much interest there is in it. I don't know that it's going to happen. It feels too gimmicky for me, for the NHL. I don't know how practical it is. They're very wary of doing anything to slow the game down any more than it already is. And I'm not sure that that one will actually come to fruition.
Yeah, and usually this meeting, though, you know, they'll discuss it, but then they still need the acceptance from the players, right?
Yeah, for sure. You have to, and especially with the 4-on-4 or 3-on-3 overtime. That's one where you'll definitely have to have the players' agreement. I mean, the coach's challenge is a little bit less about the players' association and their involvement in that, and just more about the structure of the game and how they think it can be most efficiently called. So I don't know that the PA would look at that as something they got to step in front of or get in the way of. A couple of other things. The Philadelphia Flyers were fined at Christmas because they didn't give their players the appropriate amount of days off.
Mm-hmm.
The Anaheim Ducks almost got fined because Ryan Getzlaf sort of had an impromptu practice with the players.
Which is funny because it's the players who say they need the day off, but then the captain himself says, guys, let's get together. I don't know how you can fine the organization for that one.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that and they didn't in that case, but they're looking at making these fines a lot stiffer. So the Flyers got fined $50,000. Dregs was reporting today when we were doing our stuff that it could be upwards of $150,000-$200,000. Like, they'll make the fines even more stiff for those sorts of things. And then the other significant one, they broke off into small groups and they had a few topics each and recommendations. And it sounds like Bobby was reporting today that it sounds like they're going to recommend that teams be allowed to have a designated third goaltender in the building. So whether it's your goaltending coach or whether it's your assistant GM or whoever it is, it'll be pre-sanctioned and teams will be able to have a third goaltender that can dress in the need of an emergency because of what we saw in Florida.
Yeah, really a minor thing, right? Like, that happens once. How often? Like, sure, hopefully they spend like 2 minutes on that because it's such a rarity.
Embellishment was another one they got into today. What they did, actually, because, I mean, they want to crack down on diving, right? We know that. They're trying to. But as Coley Campbell said today, I mean, we crack down on plays along the boards, and then, sure enough, you get guys embellishing more along the boards. Mm-hmm. We try to protect the players, and then guys just take advantage of the system and dive. And it's an issue. So what they do is each week they have all the plays that are called where diving calls are made or plays that look like they could have been dives. And hockey operations goes through those plays. And then they communicate with the referees about, you know, look, here's what happened here. Here's what happened there. Here's the guys who are maybe doing it a little more than others. So what they did is they took this last week of hockey and what their week's worth of work would have been, and they gave it to the general managers and said, here, you guys, this is what we would do. You guys do it. So the GMs went through it in their groups and looked at what were dives, what weren't. And then what the NHL is going to do is they're going to go through it themselves as well, and then they're going to compare the two to see if the NHL is essentially calling it in close proximity to the way the general managers feel that it should be called. They want to refine the process of weeding out embellishment, and they're trying to make sure they're on the same page with the general manager. So there's some work being put in on that as well.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. He is live in Florida at the GM meeting. Thankfully, he's not burnt like a tomato just yet. Still a few days left.
Tomorrow I will be back.
To go for that.
No sunscreen today. It was a mistake. It was a terrible mistake not having sunscreen
what
today.
What a rookie. Holy cow.
I know.
I even told you last week before you left.
I know. I got the pale Edmonton skin, too. Like, oh, man, it's going to be no good. I'll be a tomato tomorrow.
The Eastern Conference, as you're out east in Florida, you know, they're 6 points back of Boston. I know they're not officially eliminated, but it's definitely looking harder every day. Ottawa's five back with the game in hand, so they're still feeling they have hope anyway. But the New York Rangers have created a little bit of a gap between them and the Islanders in Pittsburgh. But suddenly we're seeing Malkin's now out. Hornquist is injured. The Rangers just sent out that Marty St. Louis is now out for the next 2 weeks, almost becoming a battle of attrition in the Eastern Conference with a lot of the top teams losing their top guys.
That's a tough time of year for these guys to be going out, because not just for the teams that are jockeying for to get into the playoffs, but I mean, there's important games to be played. I mean, man, jockeying for position and home ice advantage and all sorts of things there. So, yeah, I guess Jimmy Rutherford talked a little bit about Malkin today. It's tight, man. It's tight everywhere you look. And I think that, you know, I mean, the Montreal Canadiens now sitting with 93 points. You know, they pull it ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're sitting there. The Rangers have been exceptional lately. The Ottawa Senators making things interesting. They continue to get really good goaltending. Boston is still floundering. Like, there's a lot happening. There's a lot of balls still up in the air. And it's interesting to see all these GMs here, because there's a lot of tension in the league right now. A lot of teams that are they may or may not make it. And then you see, you know, it's interesting. You see the general managers all, you know, having lunch together, shooting the breeze, taking it easy. And you got to wonder what kind of stress they're living with day to day.
Do you have a chance? Is Doug Wilson there?
He is not here.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not here. He's still in San Jose, apparently. So I don't know what's going on there. I didn't even see if anybody was here from San Jose, what their representation looked like. So very interesting that he's not here. As long as I've been covering these things, he's always been a mainstay. He's always around. But he is not here. By the way, we did talk to Brian Murray today. And every year at this event, they have a dinner to sort of honor somebody. Now, normally it's done for, you know, general managers who have retired or, you know, guys who have been a part of the fraternity for years and years. But normally it's somebody who's not necessarily in the position anymore. But they're honoring Brian Murray tonight. So they're going, I think they're playing some golf and having a big dinner and honoring him tonight. So kind of a nice gesture. I think David Poile was the one who pushed that agenda, and Murray sort of sheepishly agreed, and so they'll have a dinner in his honor tonight. But he's, man, what a gentleman he is. I know you've talked to him a number of times over the years, Jason, but he's just, he's such a good guy, such a gentleman, and has such a lot of class. And he really speaks out a lot. I mean, he was in a rush today, and he was busy, and I said, you have a couple minutes for us? And he said, yep, let's do it. And we probably sat there and talked to him for 15 minutes, and he talked all about, you know, his cancer treatments and raising awareness and all those sorts of things. So, nice gesture by the GMs tonight for that.
Yeah, that is great. A guy who obviously will be stepping down from the GM job this summer, which leads me to that one. We think so.
Well, we asked him that today, Jay. Well, we said, you know, what's your plans? And he goes, well, he said, I don't know yet. I mean, if we make the playoffs, they may want me back. If we don't, they might not. So we kind of got to wait and see. But we pushed him a little bit on that and said, you know, do you think you'll be stepping back? And he wasn't as definitive today. And he said he's feeling great. So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Because I thought in that whole story they did, it mentioned that you know, he was going to step back just because of the stress and the wear and tear and everything on him. He just didn't think he'd be able to do it. And I understand if it changes, but I'm guessing, you know, they've got to have a fallback plan in place in Ottawa.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. He's got bigger things that he's focused on. And but he's very laid back now, man. I mean, that has to add some pretty unbelievable perspective to your life. And he was very relaxed, very conversational today. He's a good, solid guy, and wish nothing but the best for him.
And lastly, Shager, with college players, some of them declaring either they might come out early, like Ben Hutton just announced he's foregoing his senior year at Maine.
Oh, he is.
He's going to start his pro career with the Vancouver Canucks right away. There are other ones that are free agents that need to be signed up. What are some of the names you're hearing? Who's going to be the most sought after guys this year?
Yeah, you know what? You're throwing a little bit of a curve at me. I don't have the list in front of me. I don't know exactly. Okay. I know that there's the goalie. The Oilers are right in the mix of things on the tender. But the one thing I did hear is that this isn't necessarily a strong year for that.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, and different years we're kind of hearing, you know, that there's, whether it's a DeKaiser or whether it's a Justin Schultz or whoever it's going to be, there's always that one super sought after guy. But it doesn't sound this year like there's that for sure fire guy that's going to play in the league next year 100% and be the guy that everybody's gunning for really, really hard. So it sounds like maybe a little bit of a weaker crop for that this year. I was reading that the other day, and that's what it sounds like. It's a great little spot for you to mine if you're a team, because you can find those little gems and you can squeeze them out and you don't have to wait as long for them. And it's great if you can do it, but they don't necessarily always work out.
Jogger, enjoy tomorrow. You mentioned the 3-on-3 will be on tap tomorrow, yeah. So we'll probably have a better feel of what's going on. And make sure to get some aloe vera.
I will, buddy. Well, you'll watch tomorrow if you see. You'll see whether I was able to keep it under control or not. But I think it might be ugly. I've kind of got that. Like, I'm in my air-conditioned hotel room, but my face is just kind of pulsing. It feels no good. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it feels no good.
Wow. Oh, man. This is going to be awesome. Makeup can't even cover that up. That'll be great. All right, man. Well, we'll be just another reason to watch.
Okay, buddy. Take it easy.